Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, Rangers of the Dork Forest. It's me, Jackie Cation, and you are listening to the Dork Forest. You can go to the websites, JackieCation.com and DorkForest.com. JackieCation.com has DorkForest.com. It has the audio links. It has the video links to my YouTube. It has all of my dates for stand-up comedy. It has all the merch. It's got Dork Forest merch and stand-up merch and all of my CDs and DVDs if you have those devices. Other things you can do, Bandcamp. There's a Bandcamp with the very old episodes. Some of them are free. And then there's a storytelling album that you can get on my Bandcamp. And I'm on Pandora and Spotify. It is 2025, and feel free to start donating to the Dork Forest. Yeah, cost me about 10 grand a year to put this up. If everybody donated $100 every year, if everybody just handed me $100 every time they saw me, or PayPal, Venmo, then I would have, I think, about 10 grand. I don't know, but I would have enough money to run this and probably buy myself lunch. And I'm a big fan of doing the show. I'll do it anyway. But if you have $100, send me $100. If you have $2, send me $2. You can do it monthly on PayPal. There's buttons all over my website. And my Venmo is just my name. No hyphen. Jackie Cation. I'm wearing a red shirt. Let's get into the show. Oh my God, it's still me, Jackie Cation. This is the third one I'm doing in a row. And so it's gotten darker, you guys, outside. But it's fun. Dork Forest. This one, we haven't done this one in a while. And I'm sure Brian Posehn's going to be sad because what I've got here is I've got Topper Sundquist with me. Topper Sundquist. That's right. The greatest name that I've heard in a long time. Congratulations, Topper. Half of Kussler's Hustlers. Kussler Hustlers? Singular on the Kussler?
Singular.
Because it's just one guy who's writing those books about, what's his name? Dick? Prick?
Dirk Pitt.
Dirk Pitt? Nobody's naming anybody Prick. Anyway, your partner in the podcast, Kussler Hustlers, was on a couple of weeks ago, and she said that you would be great. So here we are. Welcome.
Thank you very much. I was absolutely terrified when you picked heavy metal from the list of topics I sent you because you followed it up with, we haven't had heavy metal since Brian Posehn was on. And I'm like,
right.
Oh God, I have to follow that.
You don't, but here's the thing is Brian Posehn is no, here's what I remember about that episode. People could go back, listen to that episode. It was a good episode, but here's what I did not get out of that episode. I got a lot of, wait, you've never heard of, and then some heavy metal band that I've never heard of. So know in your heart that I don't know him. I don't know him. I've heard of, I don't know, Axl Rose. I can't tell you if he's in Metallica or what, but probably not. But you seem to be wearing, are you wearing a heavy metal t-shirt?
Yes, I am wearing a shirt for Black Friday, which is a band I discovered myself just last month. Because I took my oldest and youngest kids to their first open air metal festival in Alberta, okay. Loud as Hell.
What, it's called Loud as Hell? And yeah. What's the name of the band? Black what?
This band is Black Friday.
Black Friday. Yes. So there are new heavy metal bands, is what you're telling me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's still a genre. Still people writing to it, much like all other genres. People are still writing the music for it. How would you define heavy metal?
Dang, that's hard.
Just for you. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, most of heavy metal is just about being loud. It's about the energy. There's really, really slow heavy metal. I listen to a lot of sludge and doom, which is like as low as you can possibly get. There's like 8, 10, 12, 14-minute songs. Okay. And a bunch of the bands I was going to talk about are definitely more on the punk and thrash side. So there's like 2-minute songs.
Okay. Oh, interesting. So would you consider sludge, doom, punk, and thrash all kind of heavy metal?
Absolutely. Metal is a huge umbrella.
Okay.
And it like in the 70s and 80s, a lot of metal was the same. Like, you were heavy metal. There wasn't much, like, Black Sabbath was kind of spookier than Iron Maiden was, but they were all still heavy metal. They were fairly close. It's gone okay. So many directions.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. I like that. And it's sort of, and it's sort, is it the, you said it was the, how loud it was and the intensity maybe, or what did you, how did you put it? I forget.
For a lot of it. Yeah. It's about how loud it is, how distorted it is, how much, you know, power and energy you're playing with. It's meant to be usually listened to really loud.
Okay. Do you wear, hi, I'm 100 and was born 100. So I'm currently 200 years old. Do you wear do you wear any sort of earplugs?
I do, because I've gotten older. So I do wear earplugs to shows that I go to. My wife got everybody in the family like nice expensive earplugs last Christmas, because three of us go to metal shows a lot.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, she's not wrong. It's just because you can still feel the power, right? I'm sure it's resonating through your bones, especially if you're anywhere near the like the speakers. I can't tell you if I've ever seen a heavy metal concert. I know there is a band called Beatallica, which is a Beatles Metallica mashup band that the kid I used to babysit for as a child. He is the lead singer, and he sounds just like the guy who is the lead singer of Metallica.
James Hetfield, he
sounds like James Hetfield, but he they're my favorite album cover of theirs, Metallica's, is they're wearing Sergeant Pepper's outfits, but they're trashed.
The marching band outfits. Nice.
Yeah, the marching band outfits, but they're all dirty and ripped up. So that felt pretty metal, man. So you picked a couple of bands. Did you pick new stuff or did you pick old stuff?
You suggested five favorite bands, and I could talk about that for entirely too long. So I went with five favorite albums just so I could kind of narrow it down.
Okay. I love that. Okay.
But
yeah.
I was going to say, I had some honorable mentions I had to kick off. So
if we have time, we'll get to them. We'll get to them, you guys.
Oh yeah.
It's okay. What do you like? Is it the lyrics? Is it the fact that you can waltz to it? Talk to me about heavy metal.
I mean, for some of them, it's the lyrics. There's definitely bands that put a lot more effort into the lyrics, like the huge rambling multi-paragraph songs that tell a story. There's a lot of metal bands like, you know, stoner metal, sludge, doom, the slower stuff that tends to not have, you know, verse, chorus, guitar solo, chorus, and they're done.
Okay.
They'll just start rambling. The first album I picked was Monster Magnet, Dopes to Infinity from 1995. So I do have a pretty good spread here.
Oh, good. All right.
Monster Magnet is definitely one of the first like modern, really big stoner metal bands. So they have a bunch of songs on this about comic books, essentially.
What?
Because Monster Magnet is a toy that had a comic book and they named themselves after that. They have a song on this album called Ego the Living Planet, which is a Marvel character.
Sure is. Yeah, go ahead. I promise not to weed off. You only have an hour, so I'll stay focused. Okay.
I was going to say, there's one song called Third Alternative where they talk about how sad the world was when Jack Kirby died. And sort of in thanks to this, Marvel named a character after one of their songs. And that character was in all the Deadpool movies, Negasonic Teenage Warhead, which is based on a Monster Magnet song. So they're giant heavy metal nerds.
Yeah, they are. And a full circle on that. That's full amazing. Negasonic, that is a real character now. I mean, I think she's even appeared in the comics. So
she's in the comics. She was a really minor character in the comics. And they just picked the weirdest name when they were making the Deadpool movie. They were going through all the characters that they could get the rights to for Deadpool. And they're like, this is the craziest name. We'll pick her.
All right. I love that. So how's the song? How's the album? Do you love the album because it's so nerdy, or?
I love the album front to back just because it's really heavy, but this is still in their earlier days. So it's very bluesy. It has really clear singing, really clear guitars, long guitar solos.
Okay. And the name of the band is what? Dopes?
Is Monster Magnet.
Oh, that's the band.
The band is Monster Magnet.
And what's the name of the album?
Dopes to Infinity.
To Infinity. And beyond. And because here's the thing is I always do this on musical episodes. I'm like, if you want to make me an 8-song Spotify list, I will listen to 8 heavy metal songs.
Yes, so. I will do that.
All right, Topper.
I love making people listen to music.
Right. I mean, that's why you had children, I assume. So and that sounds great. Like Monster Magnet sounds like more my speed in the fact that it's more bluesy and it's and you can understand the lyrics. And I'm a bit of a nerd, it turns out. I'm a bit of a comic book nerd. So I'm in. Okay. So what's your favorite song on that album? Do you have?
Favorite song on the album is hard. It might be, Look to Your Orb.
Or one of your favorites. Yeah.
The hit from it that was like their big MTV hit that had the cool music video was Negasonic Teenage Warhead. But okay. They have a longer, weirder song called Look to Your Orb for the Warning.
Okay.
They're very spacey. They're very trippy. They talk a lot about basically getting high and seeing things with your third eye.
Sure. Sure.
They actually have a song called Third Eye Landslide. But there is an 8.5-minute song called Third Alternative, which is just amazing. It has movements like a classical piece.
Oh, wow.
Key changes, gear changes, multiple solos.
Okay. Wow. It does sound impressive. So is the band itself, are they like sort of musicians who went to Juilliard or that place in Boston?
Their guitarist, I think, actually is. I think the lead singer, Dave Windorf, I think is just a screamy guy from Jersey who likes metal. But a lot of the songwriting for the instruments is the guitarist, John McBain.
Okay.
And they all kind of look like hippies. They're all just big skinny guys with really long hair and just wear leather and play.
And then they're up. Were they playing at the festival? Are they still together?
They are still together. They do much bigger festivals than the one I went to.
Okay. Fair enough.
Loud as Hell is basically just small bands from Canada and anybody from the States we can get. And this year, four cool Mexican metal bands, which was fun.
Oh, that's great. Good for
one of them.
Yeah. Feel free to jump right over us. We're a mess. You're going to want to avoid us for the next, I don't know, 10 years until Atticus Finch can be roped into killing us. Cause we have rabies. Okay. So, anyway, continue.
I was going to say, and one of them was a 6-piece all female Mexican metal band. Which was
named what?
Oh, God.
Sorry about that to put you on the spot. all women. I bet you if I Google the word 6-piece all women Mexican metal band,
I saw 25 bands when I was there. What are they called? Let me look it up really quickly here.
Right, right. But anyone
Spit,
could.
They were called Spit on Your Grave.
Oh, sweet. Are they singing in English or Spanish?
Yeah, some of them are.
Both?
Some songs in English, some songs in Spanish. They are a death metal band and they have a violinist.
Death metal. Sweet. Spit on Your Grave. That is a great name for a band. Good for them. Wow. All right. Second favorite album.
Second favorite album is a big shift from Monster Magnet. It's Deftones, Around the Fur from 1997.
Okay.
Have you heard of the Deftones?
What's great about that one? I have never heard of the Deftones. Well,
Monster Magnet is East Coast. It's New Jersey. Deftones is Sacramento, California. It's West Coast metal with definitely a hint of sort of the Mexican vibe. The lead singer is named Chino Moreno.
Okay.
And they're a bit harder to describe. They're do you know what nu metal is?
No. What is that?
Nu metal is sort of, it was a big umbrella term for what metal turned into it, like the late 90s, early 2000s, where you have people rapping and you have turntables and stuff. And a lot of people are like, okay. it's not real metal. They have turntables. Deftones was always the best of nu metal and actually hated being called nu metal. And they wouldn't go on tours with other nu metal bands because they didn't want to be considered nu metal. But this was even before that.
Okay. This album is before that even? Is this their first album maybe? Or
this is their second album. This was the album that went huge for them.
And what was the name of the album again?
Around the Fur.
Okay.
And I think what really stands out with the Deftones is the singer has like a really soft, whispering, crooning, sort of like he's really close to the microphone and he's whispering the lyrics to you and has one of the best metal screams in metal.
Oh, wow. So, that guy, he has all the tools. He has, yes. he has both sides of the coin. Good for him. How many people are in that band?
Four or five.
And are they still together from 97?
They are still mostly together. Their bass player passed away like 15 years ago, which sucks. There's multiple concerts, benefits for Chi Chang, who was in a coma for 10 years.
Wow.
But what did most of the band is still together, and they just have a new album coming out.
Oh, that's cool. Was it... Whenever there's bands, I always think they die in some sort of bad life decision. Kind of reason. Is that what happened or no?
I believe it was just a car crash. It was a long time ago.
Oh, so just sadness. Okay. Fair enough.
I'm like, was it a bad thing?
he decided to have all of the cocaine. I mean, I don't know. It's always some fear that, you know, I always like to hear about, are there, and this is a side note, we can go over a little bit if this takes you on a tangent. Are there any heavy metal? I mean, Ozzy Osbourne is heavy metal, right?
Yes.
Okay. Like he's OG kind of, he was a big deal, mm-hmm. right? And I really don't know anything about music. I like music, but I just don't. Anyway, but he died, do you think? And he died of old age. Like,
he
just died in his bed, surrounded by loved ones. You know, he wasn't doing, you know, blow off of a hooker's ass in the middle of a truck stop. He literally lived a full life and then died. And I think that sometimes people get into music and they're like, no, I want to be, you know, I want to be that guy, that death guy. And then all of a sudden I'm dead at 27 and they always talk about me. And I'm like, yeah, you're not around for them. You to hear that. It turns out. So
yeah,
are there other great examples?
Of the ones who die early from drug use or the ones who live forever from drug use?
The ones who live the ones who live forever, having done drugs and moved on or still doing drugs and for some reason have their constitution is extraordinary.
Dave from Monster Magnet, the lead singer, definitely drank and drugged his way for 25 years. I mean, their third album, Power Trip, he got himself a hotel room outside Vegas and wrote one song a day for 12 days, drunk and high the entire time. And that was the album. He's very proud of that story. But he got clean in like 2017 because he couldn't tour anymore. He was very messed up.
Right. Cirrhosis of the liver will just pipe right up.
You got sober.
That's interesting. Was that album good?
It was. That was the huge breakthrough. That was the one that was on the radio. I saw them at Edgefest 98 in Vancouver. They had songs in Soldier with Kurt Russell. There was like 10 movies in a row had that song from Power Trip. It was a huge album.
Oh, okay. Wow. Well, that is amazing because you know that the guy who wrote 16 Candles wrote that in a weekend and it's horrible. So just, you know, I just learned that last episode. It can go either way on that. So So Deftones, Around the Fur, how many tracks are on that album? 97.
That is 10 tracks, or 11 or 12 or 13, because there's some of them who have hidden tracks. Every album had hidden tracks back in the day.
Back in the 90s, it was a big thing. I even had hidden tracks on my album in the 90s. It was a chicken recipe. That's because I'm a comic.
Excellent. Was it played backwards? They had to like reverse the album to hear the recipe.
It was actually a text file burned deep into the CD.
Oh, nice.
You had to put the CD into a computer.
I miss the days when that happened. I got a Presidents of the United States of America CD when I was a kid, and it had all the music videos on the CD as data, as well as letters from the band. Like, thank you for buying our album.
Oh, my God.
We don't do that anymore.
Right, right. I will say that back in the 90s, a lot of albums had a theme, right? Now everybody's releases, essentially they release tracks.
It's all streaming now.
It's all streaming, so that people listen to tracks. They don't listen to a whole album. And sometimes an album has a story or a reason.
I think metal really still does that. Metal is still all about the albums.
Oh, great.
Metal is actually one of the things keeping the vinyl industry alive.
Oh, really?
Because, I have vinyl records, like, from current albums, from current bands. One of the bands I'm going to bring up, I actually have the vinyl for their third album.
Oh, my gosh. I know, because they're hipster comics. Yeah, they're old, and a lot of comics are releasing their albums on vinyl. And I was asked if I wanted to do that for my last two albums, and I said, there's no hypocrisy worse than someone who doesn't own a turntable selling vinyl albums. So I think not. I think we're just going to... I have a garage full of CDs and DVDs, though, if anybody needs them. And know in your heart, remember, you also have to own those devices. Otherwise, you're buying a mismatched pile of coasters. Mm-hmm. So know in your heart. So what do you think the story is of this, the Deftones Around the Fur? What's the vibe?
I will say fully half the songs are about women and relationships and breakups and being depressed. A lot of Deftones is being depressed.
Really?
Yeah.
Are they all men? Is it a mixed bag of gender?
Well, now that you mention it, I think all the bands I picked are all men.
Oh, you get to do whatever you want. It's all good. The last episode was with he's gay, and he said that when he turned 35, he was like, I'm not going to read any more straight white guy heterosexual books. I get
Fair.
It. I understand how it works. In other news, I'd like to be the protagonist in something. So he went only reading queer literature. He turned to. So nice. Very kind of cool. Yeah. Little Bechdel test for that guy. Yeah.
I was going to say, seeing live metal, seeing local shows and going to music festivals, a lot more women in metal than
before.
Then I would hear on the radio, like back when I had satellite radio and I would listen to Liquid Metal and Ozzy's Boneyard and all the metal channels. You could go days without hearing a female vocalist.
Oh, really? So the women are out there.
It's not just female vocalists. There's like, we get bands where it'll be like a lady on lead guitar, which is awesome.
Okay.
And she gets up there and shreds. Yeah.
Right, right. So they're grinding it out, but they're not getting played on the radio still, you think?
Not as well. There's not even much metal on the radio anymore, unless you're in a big city. I would assume,
or the thing, I guess.
I live in a large town, small city. We have four radio stations, and two and a half of them are country. So there's not going to be metal on the radio up here.
That's unfortunate. Even the best of the 80s, and I mean, sometimes they'll play like some of that old metal. Was Jethro Tull metal?
No, and a lot of people of a certain generation, like me and Brian Posehn, get a little twitchy when somebody mentions that. They were weird.
Were they prog rock?
They were definitely prog.
Okay.
But there was no metal category for, I think it was the 91 Grammys, So that's why Jethro Tull beat Metallica, because they just stick him in the same category. There was no metal grouping yet.
Right. You guys all play electric music. Is that correct? Yeah. That's unfortunate. I'm so sorry to hear that from Metallica.
Interesting. Yeah.
They're plugged into something? All right. Yeah. So, but what's your favorite song on this thing, Around the Fur, or one of them?
The big radio hit was How I Got Into Them. It was Be Quiet and Drive.
Okay.
Which is just like a really good pounding, thundering song just about saying fuck it and driving.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
This life sucks. I'm out of here. I'm driving. But the last song on the track, the secret track, MX, is probably my favorite just because it is... I'm actually seeing the pattern here. It's a longer, weirder song that like gets loud, gets quiet, meanders, tells a story.
Okay.
And it's just, it's always interesting to listen to. I'll always like hear something I haven't heard in like the last 10 times I listened to it.
Oh, that's interesting. That's pretty cool.
It's also like an eight-minute, seven-minute song. Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting about music. People who listen to music repeatedly and hearing different things in the song every time you listen to it. Is that common enough? Do you feel like that's something that happens?
With like longer songs where they're doing like a whole bunch of things. It's not just one riff over and over really fast from start to end. Right. And the guy's screaming. Yeah. Which I mean is also great when you're driving. I love those songs, but the songs where you put the headphones on and close your eyes and just sit back and listen and just get lost in it. Yeah. You'll find new things sort of depending what mood you're in, what part you focus on.
Well, that's huge. That's I do a lot of rereading, and I will find new things in the books that I reread, which sounds comparable. It sounds a lot like that. So that's cool. I don't know. I have so many questions and yet none. So go to your third. Go to your third.
My third one was American Head Charge and the album The War of Art.
That's clever. I like that.
Yeah.
American Head Charge?
American Head Charge.
I love that. What year is that album?
2001.
Okay. Yeah, you're definitely going modern age here. You know? Mm-hmm. You're not starting with whoever invented heavy metal and going forth. Are they punk? What are they?
They are industrial. They are from Minneapolis, which I think is in the Midwest. I don't know America too well, but that seems to be
Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. That's a musical reference.
Gordon Lightfoot. I love that song.
Well, you're Canadian. It'd be hard for you not to know the Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. It would happen on Lake Superior. Yes. And the bottom of the Lake Superior is Minnesota.
Oh,
so, and that's where Minneapolis is. So
all I know is I've heard so many times the Midwest is the heart of industrial music, which is just basically angry. Industrial music is music that incorporates like being overdriven and distorted to the point of noise and feedback. So you'll hear like screeching and scrunching in the guitar. There's usually a lot of screaming. A lot of those bands, and this is where they mix in a lot of the electronic stuff, like Ministry was doing that back in the 80s and 90s. Ministry was always industrial before it was really big.
Okay.
It was actually a Ministry cover on this album, which is sick. But there's also, I think, two different songs on here use sound clips from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Industrial likes to use sound clips from movies, especially if they're really incongruous.
Okay. But it's like there's feedback and when are you listening to a song that is mostly noise and feedback by your own description?
Well, it's not just noise and feedback, but this is great workout music. I lift weights to this.
Okay.
I have a couple of these tracks on my playlist when I'm at kickboxing.
Okay.
It's just really, really good, angry music.
Okay. So just sort of get in a rage. Are the lyrics ever political or any of that? Or is it just rawr?
American Head Charge, not so much. I would not say they're political.
Okay. Interesting.
In so much as I think a lot of industrial, it's not exactly political, but there is a lot of America sucks, the world sucks, why get a job? You know, everyone's poor, shit's falling apart. It's sort of dissatisfaction.
Okay. There's no, it's not being put out by the Green Party. Particularly. What's your favorite song on, how many tracks are on that one?
16 tracks.
Wow. And how long's most of the songs? Is it like 3 minute songs or are they 7 minute songs?
These ones are definitely longer, like 4.5 minutes, 5.5 minutes. They have long intros. They have long outros.
Okay.
They have a lot of weird stuff.
Are you dancing to this stuff when you see it? Or are you just sort of bouncing up and down? You just kind of moshing, pushing each other around a bit?
I mean, I'm older now, so I am bouncing up and down at the back or the middle of the crowd. Mm-hmm. I can't be in the mosh pit anymore. My knees cannot handle that. But yeah, you'll be in the mosh pit. You'll be in the circle pit. For some of these shows, I'll be at the very, very front, just holding onto the railing. Just
and
well, people hitting
define,
me.
Define is moshing. Just it's sort of bumper cars, right? You're just kind of bouncing off each other, and so circle. What was the other term?
Circle pit is sort of when everyone is just moshing in a circle.
Okay,
so you can run while you're moshing.
Oh wow!
When you have even more energy.
That sounds like a young person's game right there.
Yeah.
So it's got to be hard on your knees. Plus, so if it here's now, as the biggest dork in the dork forest, I have this to say about live music. It's hard to stand for a couple of hours.
Yes.
How do you, because you're going to see music. It was Lorraine Newman did an episode of the Dork Forest about EDM. It's her favorite kind of music.
Mm.
Lorraine Newman from SNL back in the 70s. I don't know if you ever.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Saturday Night Live. She was.
I was going to say, why do I know that name? Yeah.
Right. And she said, you know, as she's gotten older, a lot of the younger people will be like, well, let me go get you a chair. And so she can see the band. But you can also have a chair kind of by a tent pole.
Unplanned pregnancy? Learn how people are getting abortion pills by mail for a safe abortion at home, no matter what state they live in, at plancypills.org. That's plancypills.org.
My wife and I were at an EDM festival in July, because that is definitely more her thing.
Okay.
That's the music that she likes. And I go, and I love just about any live music. So the first time I went to an EDM festival, I thought, you know, I'll tolerate this. I'm going to a thing with my wife. No, if it's live music with a crowd, I am almost guaranteed to have a blast. But we also brought chairs.
Oh, fair enough. I have to say, live music, sometimes it just gets too loud for me. And I think there has to be, it's its own skill to go see live music, especially, I mean, when you're 16, you go because you've been, you know, everyone's going, we're going to go see Heart.
Nice.
We're going to see REO Speedwagon and April Wine in the World Series of Rock. And so you go and you stand in some bleachers in a stadium and you watch a band that's so far away, you have to watch them on a jumbotron anyway. But there are people who are genuinely like, when you're in it's the crowd that really drives live music, or is it getting to watch the performers, or is it both of it? And depends how close you are. Yeah.
Depends how close you are. It depends on the energy of the band. But yeah, like being around the crowd and seeing the band just putting all their energy out there, and the crowd usually getting drunker and drunker throughout the night and dancing harder and harder. When everyone's having a good time, it's hard not to have a good time.
Even if you don't know the songs and can't sing along?
There are a lot of bands that I've seen for the very first time, never heard of them before. Like Loud As Hell had 20 bands I've never heard of. I heard these guys for two songs and immediately bought a shirt. I'm like, I love these guys. I'm instantly a huge fan. I don't know any of these songs. Huge. These guys are great. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. That's amazing.
My kid came home with merch for like 10 bands.
Oh, that's hilarious. So what's your favorite song on the War of Art?
They have a slower song called Just So You Know and a much faster song called A Violent Reaction. And those are probably my two favorites. Like, they've also, like, because they're industrial, there's a lot of electronic stuff involved. They've also put out like several remixes for a ton of their songs. And there's like a 12-minute version of Just So You Know, which is tons of fun.
I bet. That just it's going on and on and on. That's amazing. Okay. What's your next? We got three bands. We got three bands for sure.
Three down, what's your two to go.
What's your fourth?
Cancer Bats.
Cancer Bats. What kind of metal is that?
They are hardcore punk and thrash from Canada.
Okay. And what's the name of the album?
The album is Hail Destroyer.
Hail Destroyer. Yeah, that Hail sounds Destroyer. Metal. Yeah.
these are the songs where I think the longest song is 4 minutes, 21 seconds. The rest are like barely 3 minutes.
Oh, wow.
These are the guys who get up there and play just as hard and as fast as they can while the lead singer screams.
Okay. Are they screaming about anything in particular or?
All sorts of stuff, just honestly.
Okay.
This band is punk, so they are definitely a lot more political.
Sure.
I will say there's definitely some songs about that. There's a lot of songs about how life sucks and we got to fight for it. There's a lot of songs about fighting on this album.
Fight, fight, fight. Hail Destroyer.
Fight, fight, fight. Yeah.
Yep.
I saw these guys last year for the second time in Vancouver. I took my youngest to go see them open up for GWAR. Have you ever heard of GWAR?
I weirdly enough have heard of GWAR. Maybe that's a Brian Posehn. How old is GWAR?
GWAR, I think, goes back to the early 90s, maybe late 80s, but they're a band that's had like multiple sets of band members. I think they're on their third vocalist now, but they're the guys who wear like the huge giant foam rubber suits that look like aliens.
Okay. No, I got no visuals with GWAR in my head.
I will have to send you some
giant alien.
Yeah.
They're wearing like giant sort of, do they look like Gumby?
No, they just look like horrible, gross mutant zombies with weapons and spikes. But it's so over the top and cartoonish. And their whole shtick is that they're an alien race of conquerors and they came to Earth to conquer and enslave us. But their ship broke and they can't leave. So they started a band.
Okay. Where are they from? Where's GWAR from?
I think they're the East Coast somewhere, but they're all about performance. They're the guys who have the super soakers and will spray like red and blue paint and blood and various fluids on the audience.
Oh God, that's a lot. I once opened for Gallagher II, Gallagher's brother.
I did not know that was a thing.
That is a thing. Gallagher sold his or leased out his act to his brother who looked just like him.
Huh.
And the both of their last name is Gallagher. And so
we're not lying technically.
Nope. And they both did the watermelon thing at the end. But his previous hour, his brother would do it. And his new hour, Gallagher would do. And then they eventually, his new brother just started writing material. And Gallagher got super mad and sued him. So that didn't work out. Anyway, it was a mess though, because the first row of the audience had plastic because of the whole food thing. And it was a long time ago. And so I thought it was kind of a big deal to open for Gallagher too. And so I dressed up and the first show happened and I was in the, so now the second show's happening and I was wearing heels. And I'm like, oh, tomorrow I'm wearing sneakers because this is gross. And because they didn't really clean the stage between shows.
That's what I was thinking. I was worried you'd walk out there in heels and just whoop, just wipe out.
It wasn't my finest. Nobody's finest hour. I don't think that Gallagher 2 or Gallagher ever made a show better. So for the other comics, I'm sure that people who came to see them were psyched, but other than for the rest of us, we were like, how do I get out of this? So Cancer Bats, what year was this album?
2008.
Oh, 2008. Wow.
I'm going chronologically with
these. They're Canadian, right?
Or were they are Canadian. They are from Toronto.
Nice.
They have had a complete lineup change except for the lead singer. And seeing him last year, like, these guys have been around since the early 2000s. The lead singer, like, he'd been doing this for 25 years. He is still leaping around on stage, like, doing flips. He's skateboarding. This band keeps him skinny, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he is just a little tiny skinny dude with this giant monster voice.
Oh, wow. Does he play an instrument or does he just jump? Is he just the vocalist?
He plays some rhythm guitar on some songs, but okay. he's mostly just the dedicated vocalist, just running around and screaming.
What's the costuming like in heavy metal, the newer stuff? Are they mostly just jeans and a t-shirt kind of guys, or?
For most of the stuff I listen to, it's jeans and a t-shirt guys.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Cause I mean, it doesn't have to be Kiss, right?
Yeah.
Which I think is hair metal. Is that correct? Do I have that? If I pronounce that correctly,
I think a lot of Kiss was hair metal. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And it's over. Don't worry about it. It's okay. I don't mean to.
No, I know. I had a whole story because when I first made my list, I had it narrowed down to like 20 albums, and I was having a hard time getting below 20. And I had a whole story about one of the bands I had to kick off, just because they're not metal, I don't think. They're definitely more hard rock, and it's a weird blurry line between that.
Sure. But they're one of your faves, right? I mean, you could have done your 20 favorite albums, but it would have had to move a little quicker.
2 minutes per.
Yes.
Short story in that case. Helmet was one of Helmet is an East Coast hardcore band. They formed in the late 80s. They got big in the early 90s. And they were definitely like the counterculture response to hair metal, because hair metal is, you know, the giant teased hair, the makeup, leopard print, pyro. And Helmet is three guys in jeans and t-shirts and short hair and just playing so much harder stuff than the hair metal guys were doing.
Right, right, right.
Just incredibly hard music.
Just rocking hard.
And it's just guys who could have walked off the street.
Yep. They just felt like anybody. And are there... You know, there were certain kinds of metal bands. Like, what would you say would be the metal bands of the late 70s and 80s? Before I guess again and you get that look in your face, I'm so sorry.
I mean, late 70s, you've got Saxon, you've got Hawkwind, you've got Iron Maiden, you've got Black Sabbath.
Okay.
And it was in the early 80s that you got what Brian Posehn talked about a lot on his episode, because once you mentioned Brian Posehn, I had to immediately go back and download that episode. And he talked about the Bay Area thrash scene, which is where you get your Metallica, your Megadeth, your.
Okay. And did they have, so I've heard of Megadeth. I've heard of Metallica. I've heard of Black Sabbath, and I've heard of Iron Maiden. That's it in the list of bands that you just did. Of those bands, were there any weird ballads?
I mean, not so much ballads.
Yeah.
Iron Maiden would, because Iron Maiden did kind of a whole bunch of everything.
Okay.
Like, they did long songs that were political. They did long songs that were about mythology. They would do ballads just because they were always looking for an excuse to show off musically. Like, they were heavy metal. They had some very simple radio friendly metal songs that were just like the same riff a couple times. And they had some songs where there's like multiple key changes, multiple timing changes, multiple harmonies, just incredibly high level impossible to learn stuff.
Just complicated and
yes.
but fun to listen to.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Them and Led Zeppelin were definitely. I played some guitar. I was never that good at it. I play bass.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I like the groove. Just brum, 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 brum.
Well, it's always interesting when someone's very much into music, you wonder if they ever played, you know, when it were played music. Like I like marching band music. Do you know why? I was in marching band. That's right. And I also don't mind big band. I like a big band. I like a swing. I will eventually get back to Cancer Bats. What's your couple of favorite songs on there? You got a favorite song from that album?
Hail Destroyer. For Cancer Bats? I mean, Hail Destroyer is great. Death March is great. Bastard's Waltz is great. I think my favorite one is a song, and it has a very scary name for what it is. It's called Lucifer's Rocking Chair.
Okay.
And it's just a song about being a touring band, and the video is hilarious.
Okay.
Because the video is they pack up a gig in a town, they load all the instruments into the van, and they drive all night. And the entire video is just the lead singer driving and drinking coffee after coffee and going insane. Like, he looks over and there's a giant sentient coffee in the passenger seat, and the coffee starts driving, so he gets up on the roof of the van.
Oh my God. That's very funny.
And the song's just about driving and doing a show night after night after night, and it's hard. And
somebody asked me to open for bands, and they gave me the list of cities and and it was a 3-month run opening for bands at these weird, you know, just band places where bands play. And it was a different city three. And when I did the road like that as in the 90s, you would do 3 or 4 cities, then you'd go home and sleep for 3 days. Then you'd go back out another 3 or 4 nights out or 2 nights out. You'd go home for 4 days, for 2 days, for 5 days. That is not the case with the band people, where they all get in a van together and they drive around for months and they sleep on top of each other like puppies. And, and they share a hotel room, and, there's the fact that a band will stay together for more than those 3 months ever is a testimonial to how much somebody wants to play music and how much somebody wants to be in a band. And because what, I mean, that's maddening. That would drive me nuts. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had to turn it down. I was like, no, no. I'll fly in. You want me to fly in? I can work with them for a week. And here's what I'll do. I'll find you 11 other comics to do the other 11 weeks. Is that something? And they said, that is not something. So, they probably got somebody who really liked that genre of music and live music in general. So, I'm sure it would have been super fun. I've done other things that sound insane. I did 9 weeks on the road in Australia.
Sweet.
Where we drove and we took small airplanes and then we drove and then we took small airplanes and then we took buses. The whole thing was hanging out with very young comics who like to riff about absolutely every sign. They're going to make that funny. Kangaroo crossing. And you're like, you got to stop. I'm going to kill somebody. And that sounds cool. Except for the Cancer Bats. You said that was thrash punk, right?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know
thrash
if I would.
Thrash is fast and hard. Punk is fast and hard. It's one of those things where it's hard to tell the difference exactly where one stops and one starts, but.
Makes sense. And then, all right, pick another one. Yeah.
All right. The last one I had is another band from Canada. It is, as far as these things go, a heavy metal supergroup from Canada called Dead Quiet.
Dead Quiet. Supergroup. Now, what makes them a supergroup?
The lead singer is from Barnburner. The two guitarists are from Ancients and Hashteroid. And their keyboardist is from 3 Inches of Blood. So
that's right. It's like different bands get together to make a super group.
Yeah. And so I've seen three of those four bands before. And then I found out they made their own band when those bands broke up. I'm like, oh, this is going to be good.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And it's called Dead Quiet. What's the name of the album?
It's Grand Rites. And this is from 2017.
We're getting up there. Grand Rites. How many songs are on that?
9 songs.
Okay. And how an average length? What are we looking at?
5, 6, 7, 8 minutes for all of them. So,
okay. Wow. All right.
Fairly long. These guys are also a bit different. The first time I heard them, I wasn't quite sure how to categorize them. And at some point I realized the vibe is kind of like a stage musical because the lead singer has this huge, giant, like screamy, growly voice, but it's perfectly clear. You can understand all the lyrics. They have the keyboards, so it kind of sounds like Phantom of the Opera doing backup. And
that's wild. That sounds kind of amazing.
The songs are huge and tell stories, and there's multiple solos. And they have a sound unlike anything else I've heard.
That's so cool. Now I kind of want to, but it's still kind of that energy, that heavy metal energy.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Oh yeah.
And this album, I think this is their second album, and just front to back, it's perfect. I love every song. I love every part of every song.
Wow. So, every song and every part of every song.
For whatever reason, this one speaks to me. Like, I love this album. I have their shirt. I have the vinyl. I got everything.
You got the whole thing. You got a sign that says Dead Quiet. Well, listen to it. And so how many people there's 4 people in that band?
5 now with the keyboardist.
Keyboardist. And then it was 4 and playing drums.
They added the keyboardist for the second album.
Oh, okay. So there's usually a couple of guitar players and then a bass player and then a keyboardist and then a drum percussionist. And yes. So is that what they've got pretty much? Like two lead guitars, a bass player, drummer, and keyboardist?
3 guitarists actually, because the lead singer also plays guitar.
Oh, okay. Wow. And is with most of them, is there just one singer and then people chime in, or do they swap it out ever?
I would say it's just one singer for all the other bands I mentioned. For Dead Quiet, they have two guys doing backup for harmonies, and they have a lot of guitar harmonies, which is why I'm saying they sound like a big theatrical, like it's a really big sound. They have lots of harmonies. Lots of fun things.
So when you make this eight song list, the Spotify list or whatever, you can send it to me on anything.
You're getting track 2 from this album, definitely.
Okay, that's it. And maybe Black Friday. Can't tell. So you have almost 8 minutes left. You can do your backups if you want.
Okay. The two rock bands I had to kick off the front were Helmet and Clutch.
Okay. Helmet and Clutch.
Yeah. Helmet is...
Yeah. I think 3 guys. Yeah?
I think they're from Jersey, and Clutch is like, they started out, their first album, people called them a Helmet ripoff. But okay. They have since gone so many different ways. Clutch is like the biggest B-list band in the world. Like, they will headline every festival worldwide. Anybody who's into rock or metal has heard of Clutch. They're like the biggest band that never got big.
Oh, that's funny. Are they respected by their peers?
Absolutely. Because
that's exactly how I feel my career is gone. And I'm the Clutch of stand-up comedy.
Sweet.
You know what, that is a reference that there will be essentially like six guys that resemble you will get that joke. And
they'll be like, yeah, totally.
Oh my God. She said, okay. And if I remember to say it, that's the other thing. So, okay. So what's Clutch? What's your favorite Clutch album?
Oh God, that's probably hard. The first album was Transnational Speedway League. The second album I think is just called Clutch. I think that might be my favorite one.
Okay.
The self-titled album, because the first album, they do sound a lot like Helmet. Like they have a song called Come On Motherfucker, which is just a hardcore song. The second album was where they just started having fun and they got very bluesy. They're from Maryland. They're from like basically Washington, D.C. They have a lot of songs that are very bluesy and Southern rock influenced.
Well, that's neat.
And
I like it.
They relaxed more. Yeah. They had a lot more fun.
Right. It's interesting because I think that's what heavy metal, they're just having a good time. When you watch them play, they're just like, I am going to play faster than you and harder than you and watch it happen, man. Yeah. So, and which really makes me feel like they are having a really good time playing. So, you know, and yet they are actual songs. It's not like they're just going, mm-hmm. there's actually a melody. There's a point, there's a beginning, a middle and an end, you know, they're doing all the things is what I'm saying.
Absolutely. Right. Clutch is a lot of fun. I'll definitely put one or two songs of theirs on the playlist.
Okay.
And the honorable mentions was just all the weird stuff that would take too long to explain. So I can burn through some of those now. There's a Mexican metal band called Venom Sabati, and they have an album called Gravity Works, which is essentially like, they're definitely stoner. They're psych. They're weird metal.
Okay.
All the songs are instrumental, but they are played over 1950s NASA training videos or just like weird scientific videos where they're talking about black holes and gravity.
Right. Yeah.
It's weird. I love it.
And awesome. Yeah. There you go. Honorable mention. Okay. Yeah. You got another one? I think we have time for one more.
Well, if I'm going to go out weird, Black Tremor.
Black Tremor. Where are they from? What's their jam? What's their
They are Midwestern. They are a sort of slower, weirder, heavy metal band, and they have a violinist.
Oh, so there you go.
They are drums, they are bass, and they are an overdriven, distorted violin.
Wow. Yeah, that's a lot. Oh my gosh. Well, I'd say Topper that we did it. I'd say we call it Topper Sundquist, you guys, the other half of Cussler Hustlers, a podcast about that guy Cussler who writes essentially airport books, and you
Here's
guys talk
the
about them
books.
So much. Dragon.
That's our current and book.
That's your current book. And but he's written what, 150? I forget what she said.
I think he wrote 50. And sort of the expanded universe after he passed away. So stuff that he started that other writers do now is another 50.
Sure. Is that, did Brandon Sanderson get his sticky fingers into that at all? Is there any, you know, Brandon Sanderson loves to finish somebody else's book. He's
I would
asked,
die laughing to read Brandon Sanderson try and write a Dirk Pitt novel.
Because they're spy novels, right?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, there's spy stuff. There's intrigue stuff, but it's just a guy who works for the underwater marine agency who just falls ass backwards into adventure every year.
Every year. Just, he's not looking for it. It just happens to him. It's a lot like Jack Reacher. Anyway, Topper, thank you so much. You guys, Topper Sundquist at Cussler Hustlers. Thanks so much for doing the show, because this was fascinating and really good.
Thank Rangers, you so much for listening.
You're welcome. You know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay!
my God. Thank you. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?